everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Inspired Nomads, where I talk to amazing guests around the world, hoping to inspire those of you that are mid-career, wanting to break off, perhaps to travel the world, perhaps to pursue a passion, but feeling like maybe you can't, maybe it's too expensive, maybe you're just too crazy. Well, I'm hoping that by listening to this series, or watching it, if you're watching it on YouTube or theinspirednomads.com, that you are feeling more and more inspired to make some positive changes in your life. So today I am coming to you from New York City in my mother's apartment with the wonderful backdrop here. And I am very excited to have not just one, but two guests today. Ruth and Alan from New Zealand are joining me. Hello. can you tell us, actually, we had a little chat before, where exactly are you in this very moment?
Right now we're sitting at our motorhome, or RV as you'd say in the States, and we're in a car park of IKEA just south of Stuttgart in Germany.
So are you going to go shopping in IKEA? Do you park there overnight? What's that story?
Yeah, no, we've got one or two things to buy here, but we parked overnight about 10 miles away from here. Just did the, I think they call it boondocking in the States. We call it wild camping or free camping. And it was just in a car park in a forest. It was really pretty. It was great, apart from the planes flying overhead. We were straight under the flight path of the Stuttgart airport. So we had planes flying from about 6 a.m., which wasn't that flash. But it was a nice spot. It was beautiful.
Wow. So before you started the life as a traveling nomad, what were your before lives? What were you doing? Where were you?
So we were in Perth in Western Australia, and I had my own business teaching people from the mining sector how to look after their money, how to set some goals for their future, and how to maintain a strong relationship with their family while they're working away from home.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I was an engineering manager in a mining industry company in Perth as well. And we've been there for about 8 years.
Wow. So what prompted you to just start traveling?
Well, we decided we'd had enough of Australia and we were heading back to New Zealand to live. And I always had a few things on my bucket list, and one of them was to spend my 50th birthday in Venice on a gondola, being serenaded while drinking wine and eating cheese.
Perfect.
As you do.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's send everything back to New Zealand and let's go to Europe for a little while and see if we can tick off some of these bucket list things. So that's what we did. But we kind of haven't got home.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a couple of years, and we're now 2.5 years down, and we really don't ever want to stop now. It's too good.
Yeah, so, which I know we talked about this a little before too. I'm 2 years in, and I thought originally it was going to be 3 or 6 months, and I don't want to stop either. So can you share a little bit about maybe what about what you're doing do you love so much that you want to keep doing it?
I think it's probably the freedom. We wake up in the morning, and if it's cold like it is now in Germany, we can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We can sit inside and do some writing. We do a lot of writing on our blogs. Or if it's a nice day and we're in a stunning place, we can get on our e-bikes and cycle around and go and visit things and places and people. And
And if it's starting to get too cold, we can head south and find warmer weather. And we're not tied to any sort of hotel or anything like that. We go where we want to go, when we want to go. And it's great. And we normally park in really beautiful parks or on beaches or by lakes. And so we wake up with the most amazing views that you could ever hope to have.
Wow.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what about life in a sort of traditional office setting and traditional work do you not want to return to?
Probably the lot.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, you got in one.
I think waking up naturally has always been a big goal of mine. in my life, and to be able to wake up naturally, unless there's aeroplanes going overhead like this morning, is a real treat.
And I think a lot of the time when you're working in office, you're really just marking time. You're marking time till the next weekend or the next vacation or whatever. And the weeks, months and years tick by without anything really significant happening. Whereas with this life, we can just do what we want and go where we want. And every few days we're seeing something that's amazing that most people can only dream of seeing. So our life is just being made. It's a constant parade of memories now, rather than looking for the one memory every sort of month or two and saving up all your money and all your energy for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and speaking of money, I mean, I know that for myself and pretty much everyone I've talked to, we're all amazed that the nomadic lifestyle is actually a lot cheaper than a fixed lifestyle, which I didn't realize before I started. But you know, I mean, being in our 50s, we're not of retirement age, right? So nonetheless, what are you guys doing sort of as you think about, you know, you've been on the road for a long time now, you want to keep going. What are you guys focused on to sort of perpetuate being able to afford the lifestyle that you have?
It's a question that we're asked regularly. And because people are curious and they also want to know how much our lifestyle costs us. So we actually, on our website, record and share with everybody exactly what it costs us down to the last penny.
Wow.
So before we embarked on this journey, we had saved hard for about 8 years. We had a house in Australia and we sold that house. And so have used some of that money for our travels. And Alan, thankfully, was able to work one day a week while we first started out. And in some of the countries we were in, like Greece and Turkey, one day a week traveling was more than we could actually spend to live. So that was interesting. But we also have investments back in New Zealand, and that provides us with some passive income too.
Oh, that's perfect. And you are traveling in, like a motorhome?
Yep.
Which I've noticed somebody in my family actually I didn't hear about this till like a month ago. Apparently there's a big trend, at least in America, for something called a Scooby, where people are buying a school bus and they take out all of the seats and they make it a home.
Okay.
And they just like redesigned the interior and now it's sort of like a motorhome. I don't know why you wouldn't, maybe it's cheaper than buying a motorhome. I'm not sure, but anyway, I guess it's longer than a motorhome.
Yeah, so. I think it's about the volume.
Yeah, that sounds fabulous. What a great idea.
Yeah, having the motorhome now, what do you do if and when you want to change continents?
Well, we did do that. We went from Europe down to Africa, to Morocco.
Okay.
We just put our motorhome that we named Betsy. We put Betsy on a ship, on a ferry, and we go with her. In some places, we are able to stay inside the motorhome if the trip's not too long. We've been on lots of ferries around Europe. Or we just wait upstairs and she turns up at the same time as we do.
we would
love to bring Betsy across to America and travel around in her America as well. So in order to do that, many people from Europe have before us, and they would just put their motorhome on a ship and they'd fly and just wait for her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, luckily at this stage, there's still so much to see in Europe that there's no need for us to go to the States or further afield.
Just yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows, maybe 3-4 years time that might change. But right now there's just a lot to see here, a lot to do.
Yeah.
And we don't like going quickly. So yeah, we just tool along at a nice slow pace.
How do you manage that? Because I'm assuming that for you it's the same where if you move too frequently, I mean, at least you don't have to pack and unpack, but I don't know, frequent moving, I've always found it's just more exhausting. And And of course, it's not like a true tourist lifestyle. So how do you choose a location or a destination, and what do you do when you get there?
Well, so far we've been traveling for 30 months and we've seen 30 countries.
Woo!
Bravo. So you might think that that's a country a month, but it doesn't actually work out that way at all. How do we decide where we want to go? We kind of have a loose plan, don't we?
We've got a loose plan, and then we look at the map and roughly where we want to go. And then we look at some apps which help us find suitable parking spots. And we look for a parking spot that's close to where we want to go, and we go there. If it happens to be a big city, we typically don't go to a big city with any length of time in mind. We'll stay there, like, for example, I'm talking about Prague and Warsaw and Gdansk, Istanbul, those sort of places. We'll go there until we can both look at each other and say, yeah, we've had enough. And a lot of these cities, it tends to be about 10 days. So we have 10 days tooling around on our bicycles, not going hard out trying to see 100 things a day. We might go out and see two or three things and just try and soak up the atmosphere.
Mm.
And when we feel we've seen it and done it enough, then we move on.
Apart from Istanbul, we thought we would stay in Istanbul for a week, and we ended up staying there for a month.
Oh, wow. What we love to stay.
There's just so much to see and do. Every day we were out on our electric bikes looking at something else. The list of what I wanted to tick off and see and experience was so long in Istanbul. We couldn't have done it justice.
Yeah, and the weather just stayed good. This was November 2017. And the weather was just extraordinary. It was just so hard to leave when every day was beautiful. And just being out and about in Istanbul with the hustle and the bustle and the different culture was just a great place to experience and soak up. So, yeah, it was just hard to leave. So we didn't leave until we were ready to leave. Simple as that.
Yeah. I think that's such a wonderful advantage that we have living like this is that ability to sort of be like, oh, I really like it here. I didn't expect that, but oh, well, I'll just stay here for a while. when you first got married, was this a plan of yours that you were going to take off and travel like this, or how did it form in your relationship?
We'd always had that plan of being in Venice on the canal on Ruth's 50th birthday, and that had been a plan since probably, you know, when very early on since we got together. But that was at various times was coming over to Europe for a year, then maybe it's just coming over for a month or two or three, and it wasn't until just before we left that it really cemented to being 2 years. So it was quite a fluid thing. And it was fluid when we got over here. It was really probably about 3 months after we'd been traveling, and we looked at each other and said, you know, 2 years isn't going to cut it. There's just so much to see over here. We need to make this 3 years, 5 years, even longer. And so it's still a fluid thing. We don't know how long we'll be here.
Yeah. And you guys are traveling as a couple as opposed to solo traveling. So I imagine that sometimes, how do you handle decision making or getting along and those kinds of things?
We kind of have different roles that we play. So Ellen typically will find the spot that we're going to stay in for the night. And as you mentioned earlier, there's different apps that we can access. And so in terms of where we're going or where we're actually going to park, that's sort of up to Ellen. So is the navigation. We both drive, and then we just really go with the flow, don't we?
Yeah.
But apart from that,
We're very lucky that we think very similarly, and so we don't have massive disagreements on what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and how we're going to do it. If there is a minor variance between what we both want, then it's very easy for us just to go with one of those plans, and the other one person goes, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. So we don't, you know, we're very lucky that way, not being opposed and not having strong opposing views. I'm sure it wouldn't be the same for everyone, but for us, it's good. It works out well. we have no problems.
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're lucky in that respect, yeah.
I mean, I can feel how like you guys just work really well together as a couple, and it's lovely to see. I'm jealous.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We're blessed. Yeah.
That's great. So as you think about your journey so far, is there anything that you've experienced or any point of view that you've gained that you just didn't expect or you were surprised about?
Yeah, definitely. And this has just actually come up recently for me. When I was at school, I never took history, and traveling around has been this massive history lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Greek history, and we spent 5 months in Greece. I learned so much that I had just had no idea about. And we've just spent 2 months in Poland and been immersed with the World War II history. It has been probably the most incredible, fascinating, interesting learning experience that I think we've had. And I wouldn't have picked up the books and just read about Poland, but we've just been to our fifth concentration camp.
Wow.
Which might kind of seem a bit bizarre, but they all are slightly different. And I think you get a really good overview of what it was truly like when you've been to so many. And we went to a lot of places like Warsaw in Poland was totally destroyed. It was flattened during World War II. And I had no idea about that. So we got to see how they rebuilt, how the country has just come alive. That has been, I think, for me, one of the most fascinating things.
Yeah, it shows you just how, I guess, insulated you are back in your home country, particularly New Zealand. We've never been invaded. You know, we've gone and joined in some wars, but the countries over in Europe, just over and over again, they've been invaded by other countries. They've been conquered. The people have been killed. You know, they've been marginalized. They've got their countries back. They've rebuilt. They've been conquered again. And you're nothing. There's nowhere more. Where it plays out more, I guess, than in Poland. And it's just amazing what they've been through and what they've managed to make out of themselves. And you just drive through with a lot of respect for these people and for what they've done. It's very, very, a perspective you just don't get sitting at home, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's beautiful, the history perspective. And I think another thing I've seen too, especially this year going into like being in South America and Africa, there's so much too that happens right in front of you that just doesn't make the news. And there's so many people you meet and stories going on that you just would never hear about if you stayed home. So have you had that experience too, where, I mean, it might seem like a big story or a small story, but it's like you get to witness it and be a part of it in a way that you just couldn't back home?
I think the most interesting thing from that perspective is the people that we've met and their stories.
Yeah.
In fact, I've just started interviewing and writing those stories down so I don't forget them and I don't lose them. And then one day I do want to share those with the world. We met a nun in Slovakia. Who escaped the war and went to Italy. Yeah.
Well, she escaped the communist regime of Hungary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Went to Italy and then she went to Africa and she got sick in Africa and now she's, you know, kind of suffering from that. Her story was fascinating. And we met a really interesting lady who lives in Israel. She's French. And just what she's done to help the Muslims and the Jewish people, particularly the young people, the teenagers, how to communicate in a way and understand each other's cultures. So the stories that we are coming across are from other people and what they've done in the world, and they're just fascinating.
That's beautiful. I hope you do share those stories, actually. If you do, you'll have to let me know and let us know, because those are the stories, I think, that sort of, it is the people that make the world. And I think the more... from like I have gotten less and less engaged with mainstream news just because, right? Well, right. You know, yeah, exactly. It's like, what's news? Yeah, it's because the more I travel, the more I see this huge disparity between what I read in the news, government website warnings. I've been to, like, I don't know how many countries this year that I wasn't supposed to go to according to the government website. And the reality of the people and the place is just, it's just nothing like anything that I read. So I think it is, and it is the people that have given me that that viewpoint. And I would love to hear those stories, and you make me want to delve more into the more people that I meet.
I know what you're saying about the government warnings on travel sites. We were warned not to go into Turkey.
Of course, yeah.
By the New Zealand government. And so I didn't purposely tell my family that we were going into Turkey in case they got concerned or afraid.
Yeah.
We were totally safe in Turkey.
Yeah.
And then we were in Morocco when the Muslim slaughter happened in Christchurch, and we just felt dreadful.
Wow. Yeah.
And we've got New Zealand plastered over our motorhome on the front and back. We actually went and covered it up.
Oh, wow.
We felt so ashamed. At the very early stages, we didn't know what the situation was, and we thought it was a New Zealander who had slaughtered all these Muslims. So we went and covered up New Zealand, and then a couple of days later, people were saying, no, we realised that, you know, it wasn't you, and we feel for you. And so we went and ripped off the covers over our New Zealand.
Yeah, it wasn't a nice day, though.
That was awful day.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting, because in terms of danger as well, I had people very concerned for me when I was, like, in Colombia and South Africa, things like that. And a lot of the news that I did catch was, at least, you know, being from America, like, my perspective is, and this is the thing about perspectives, right? It's like, if I do catch news, it's about, like, the shooting at the high school, two of them this week, and this, you know, there's so much violence in at least in my country that I'm like surprised sometimes that that people think it's more dangerous to go to other places. So we've talked about sort of, and there's the, my mother's phone is ringing. I won't be answering it. Hopefully we won't hear the voicemail if we do. Oh, well. So is there anything about the culture in terms of, we've talked about how firsthand experience with people is a big thing. Any other sort of cultural experiences that you are getting or benefiting from because of the travel?
I think our website's called Travel Cook Eat. Because we love cooking. And so what we've loved about the various places we've gone to and the culture is obviously the foods. And as we've gone around, we've tried to do cooking lessons in the main countries. And so we've now got this quite nice repertoire of dishes that we learned in Turkey or in Sicily or in Morocco, that we cook while we're traveling. And so it's something that, you know, it's a lesson that you get to appreciate all the time.
So I just have this, sorry to interrupt, but I had this glimpse of you guys opening up a window and being a food truck at, like, you know, in the Kia parking lot.
It's not easy to make high volumes of food in these things. So no, we're not doing that.
And we've got about over 80 spices and herbs in Betsy.
Wow. Is that your thing? Like, I find that we usually, there's something I think of I found that we all want to take with us from the different places that we go. And so are spices your thing, or what do you usually take with you when you leave a place?
Very little.
We don't take anything. We don't really buy anything. The only thing that we do buy is one fridge magnet.
Perfect.
The interesting thing is we don't have a fridge that is magnetized.
So what do you do with them?
Well, it gave them to my sister-in-law who lives in London, said, can you look after these? Because we don't have the room for them.
One day we will have a fridge we can put them on. One day, maybe.
One day.
But right now, we don't. No, you know, we're traveling around in a little plastic box on wheels, so we can't afford the space or the weight to take mementos from every country. But we take a lot of photos, and I guess yep. there are memories. Yeah, we've got thousands and thousands of photos already.
you were talking before about a project. We've got 45,000 photos each. And yeah. We've been working on putting together a photo book for our family as a Christmas present. We're heading back to New Zealand in a couple of weeks. And we're putting together this photo book, and it's literally taken hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours just to find the photo, find the raw format, reformat it in a JPEG, choose what you've got out of, you know, 90-odd thousand photos between us, choose the best ones, and then decide where they're going to go on the book. And oh gosh, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why I even started this.
Yeah, I can understand that. Wow.
It's been a big project.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh my God. So thinking ahead to 2020, so you're going home to New Zealand for the holidays. Are you then coming back and staying in Europe, and you keep going, and basically Europe is your focus?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, there's still lots of countries. There's 50 countries in Europe. We've seen 30 of them. Although we don't have an idea to tick off every one, there's still lots more that we want to see.
And there's a lot more we want to go back to.
Yeah, that makes sense. So so are you, if you think about your, maybe you think about your, you know, previous selves, or maybe you think about other people that might be watching the series and kind of thinking, wow, that looks really cool. Whether they're on their own or in a couple, they would like to do something like you're doing, but feel like they're not sure where to get started or how to get started. What advice would you give them?
The biggest thing probably is plan. You just don't wake up one day and decide that you're going to leave your life behind and go to a foreign country. It takes a lot of planning. Mm.
And it takes resources as well. I mean, as Ruth said, we planned and saved for many years. And that's allowing us to do the lifestyle. Although it's relatively inexpensive to do what we're doing, it still costs a reasonable amount of money. And so you need to have the resources behind you. You don't want to be traveling around Europe and being scared that you might get a puncture, or scared that you might get sick, and not having the money or the resources to take you through that event. So you've got to be realistic. Money is important. And so whether you save a lot before you go away, or whether you have some way of making money while you're on the road, you got to do it. Otherwise, you're not going to get the enjoyment out of it, and you could come across.
Well, there's a difference too between living and existing. What we're doing at the moment is living. We're still, you know, tourists or travellers. We still want to go and see, you know, the Eiffel Tower and the Colosseum and these wonderful places. So we don't sort of scrimp and save on the, we call it entertainment factor. We don't eat out very much, but we really need to think about not just existing, not just parking up somewhere and being there for 3 or 4 months. It's kind of not what it's about for us. There's still lots of places to see and things to do, and we still need to keep moving.
So if you want to do it, you need to have that goal and work towards that goal. And part of that is envisaging what sort of travel will suit you, how much it's going to cost, how long you want to do it for, you know, do you want to do it in style, or do you want to, you know, do it with a tent on your back?
Yeah.
And then plan accordingly and make it happen.
And I think too, if people are interested in doing that, is read a lot of blogs, read travel blogs, read how other people are doing it. There's, we've got a lot of information on our website, but I've also linked through to other people who have had a similar experience to us.
The other question that had just come up for me too was, as you think about, you know, most people like in the mainstream world would say, aren't you worried about ruining your career, or what are you going to do when you get to retirement, those kinds of things. What would be your responses to people that have those anxieties?
That's a great question.
Put your head in the sand and ignore it. Ostrich, the ostrich effect. It works well.
Yeah.
I think when you've already started your own business, ruining your career, I can just pick up from where I left off. I've got, you know, my career's sort of me and it's in my head.
Yeah.
But for us, I think that I can't see us ever going back to work or having a normal life. This has kind of become normal for us.
And we do have assets back in New Zealand, so it's not like we've come away and we're spending every penny we've got and we're going back to nothing. So for us, part of the comfort factor for us doing this is knowing we've got assets back in New Zealand, and so
and a house.
We can do this, and we know that we're not going to be on the bones of our ass when we eventually stop.
That's great.
That worked for us, and that's one reason why we can do this with a big smile on our face and no regrets.
Yeah, and I think that's important, and thank you, because one of the reasons I do this video series is because I think there's still somewhat of a perception that the only people that really do this are like millennials, and it's just not true, and I love hearing how everyone has sort of, it's not that we're sacrificing the future for the present at all. It's actually that we've planned a great future and a great present.
Yeah,
that's true. Really beautifully put. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So thank you. And before we close, is there any last comment, tip, or anything that you'd like to share?
There's often this saying around that, you know, you're a long time dead. And I don't know if you've heard that.
I've never heard that.
Okay, you're basically a long time dead, so you've got to actually enjoy yourself while you can. There's a lot of people who wait till they're 65 or till they reach retirement age to go out actually and do something like this. And then they drop dead at 64, or they have a medical condition or something else happens, which means they can't do it. We were granted the opportunity to do this as we left one country and went to another, and we grasped that opportunity. If we waited until we're 65, we might never have done this. So I think my tip is go and do something. Like, you might not be able to go and take 3, 4, 5 years out of your life and do something like what we've done, but you might be able to take 6 months. You might be able to take 12 months. But do it if you can, because the chance may never come up. You know, you can recover at 12 months out of your career. That might put you back a bit, but at least you've done this.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful.
Thank you. Ruth, anything you want to add?
No, I think what Ellen said makes sense. I lost my first husband at a very young age, and you know, one of the regrets was, I mean, we travelled all around Europe, but that we couldn't travel more. And I guess we're now making that a reality for ourselves. So, yeah.
It's beautiful. Thank you. This is such amazing viewpoints that both of you have. It's been really fun to also watch how you interact. And I'm looking forward to seeing kind of where you guys head next year and beyond. And for anyone that's listening or watching, can you let us know what the best way to reach you is? Tell us about your website and more.
Yep. So we have a little website called travel-cook-eat.com. We're also on Facebook, travelcookeat.com. And we have Instagram as well, travelcookeat.com.
Wow! That's so easy.
Who would have guessed that?
And people can contact us through our website. We get a lot of people contacting us through Facebook, social media. So yeah, we've got a little YouTube channel, but we don't do much with it really. No. You know, it takes too much time doing other things. We do a lot of writing and blogs.
Yeah. Totally understand. Well, great. Thank you. It has been so fun having you on the show, and thank you for being here and making the time in the IKEA parking lot and everything. And if you are watching or listening to this episode of The Inspired Nomad, and you would like to be a future guest, or maybe you know somebody that should be, please fill out a form to do that at www.interviewquestionnaire.com. You might also want to join our little Facebook group, our community at The Inspired Nomads. And if you wanted to send any feedback or questions, please contact me at heather@heathermarkell.com. Otherwise, it's been a pleasure having you. Thanks for watching, and I'll catch you next time on the next episode of The Inspired Nomads. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Heather. Bye. Bye. Bye.